When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain saving the death of Christ my God, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow. So rich a crown, worth the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too demands my soul. Love demands my soul. My life, my
is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to our Easter Sunday morning service. We will be having communion as part of our service, and I realise that not everybody's got wine and bread at home, but if you just find something that you could break and something you can drink, that'll be great. We'll be having that after our worship. But please don't worry if you haven't got bread or wine. It is a symbolic thing, and we are just coming together as a body virtually, but we are basically saying that we are one body and we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ this Sunday morning. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask Julia to lead us in worship. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have been risen from the grave, that, Lord, death is defeated. The grave could not hold you. And Father, we rejoice this morning in your resurrection power, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome on this very special Sunday that we celebrate each year and remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That great day, that greatest day in history, and how that is the foundation of our Christian faith, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to read from Luke 24, verses 1 to 7, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." Let us remember his words this morning as we come together and sing some joyful songs celebrating that great salvation that we can have in Jesus Christ. Oh, happy day, he washed our sins away. What a glorious way, what a glorious day that he has saved us. Isn't that wonderful? Great to be celebrating it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be bringing a new song now, The Saviour of the World. Some of you may know it. Feel free to sing along, those that do know it, and just to listen if you want to. It's a very upbeat song, and I feel that the words are appropriate for today. And just before that song, I just want to read the famous passage from John chapter 3. I'm going to start from verse 14 in the New King James Version. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. And we thank God for that salvation, that we can have our sins forgiven, that he is our Saviour, and that we have that hope for eternity through Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world.
He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. Spread the word of his soon return, to reclaim the world for his glory. Let the church now sing of this coming King, crowned with majesty, our Redeemer. And he reigns, ruler of the heavens, and his name Savior of the world. So we live
So the next songs are really an opportunity just to think and reflect on what Jesus has done for us. That for our sins, he went to the cross and he died so that we could be completely sin-free. He is our Redeemer, the precious Lamb of God, Messiah, the Holy One that saves us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Fearing loss, the fall.
I
And so now we're going to respond with communion. And this is an act of remembrance. So don't worry if we haven't got bread or wine. I'm using a tart and a cup of water. And so we're just going to come to the table and just have a... I'm going to give a short prayer now. So, Father, we thank you that you made a way for us to come to the table. But, Lord, more importantly, we thank you this morning that you are the risen Christ. And that, Lord, we come together to share, Lord, these elements together. Even though we're virtually sharing them together, Lord, we come together because together we are your body. And so, Lord, we come together as your body this morning to celebrate the fact that you rose again. And Lord, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it. And you said, "This is my body broken for you. Remember me when you do this." And afterwards, Lord, you took the cup and you said, "This is my blood shed for you. Whenever you do this, whenever you drink it, remember me." I'm just going to ask Ken and Julia now to say thanks for the wine and for the bread.
Yes, thank you, Lord, that you did go to that cross, Lord, and that you died for our sins, Lord. Your body was so badly scourged and beaten beyond all recognition. And you just took this for us, Lord, so that we could have your salvation. And it says then the scripture, "By your stripes we are healed." And indeed we are, Lord. If we trust in you, we have salvation and eternal life, Lord. And it does say in the scripture also, "Whosoever believes in me will have eternal salvation." And that is so true, Lord. And we've come to you tonight and we just thank you so much for that sacrifice you made for us, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can today, Lord God, thank you for what you endured for each one of us and Hope Church, mankind. I thank you, Jesus, you suffered outside the gate, alone, yet, Father, you had to depart just for those seconds because of our sin. Jesus, I thank you that you bared our sin upon that cross. I thank you for every drop of blood that you shed for mankind and for me. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that my sins were scarlet, but you made them white as snow because of your blood.
Amen.
Which gives us life eternal, sanctification, protection, love. I thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood.
Amen.
Amen. So let's take the bread together. Jesus said he broke this for us so that we could do this when we remember him. So the body of Christ is given for you.
Body of Christ, bring to you, Julia.
And we take the cup of wine or juice or whatever you've got, and we say, "The blood of Christ shed for us."
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that we're able to remember you through communion. And Lord, at this time where we are scattered around the town of Colchester and the villages of Colchester, Lord, we have done this in remembrance of you, to remember that we are one body under you, Lord. Father, we thank you for all that you did on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for Easter, that you rose again so that we could have all of that in our lives too. So, Father, we thank you for this communion in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray together. Father, we pray for all those who are affected by the coronavirus. Lord, we pray especially for those who are sick. Father, we think of Stuart Oakley in hospital, and we ask you, Lord, to by a miracle, Father, cure him from this COVID-19. Lord, we pray that he will be out of that hospital sooner rather than later. Lord, we pray for all those who have been sick and who are sick with this virus, particularly those in our church. Lord, we thank you for those that have recovered. We think of Tolu, Lord, and Adam, Father, having recovered, and Julia's son as well, having recovered from it. Lord, we pray for all those that are grieving loved ones at this time who they've lost. Lord, I pray that you will help them to have peace. Lord, at this difficult time where they can't even say goodbye properly, Father, would you send your Holy Spirit and bring peace into their lives? Lord, we pray for those that are off work as well, those worried about work and those who perhaps have been laid off of work. Lord, we pray that you will make a way. We pray particularly for our Christian brothers and sisters, Lord, who have been laid off of work or have been furloughed, Lord. I ask you, Father, to bless their finances, that they'll be able to meet their bills, and that, Lord, they will not be under any undue hardship at this time. Lord, we pray for our doctors and nurses. We pray, Father, a blessing upon them. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice they give. We ask you, Lord, to bless them. I pray, Father, they would get the protective personal equipment they need, and that, Father, they will get the good rest that they need too. Lord, we thank you that we live in a country with a great health service, and we thank you for the heart and the dedication of our doctors and nurses. Lord, we pray for Boris Johnson at this time too. Father, we pray that you'll give him wisdom. Lord, that you'll continue to heal him, and that, Lord, he will soon be released from hospital, and that, Father, you'll give him wisdom, and that, Father, he will not have the stress in his life so that he makes bad choices. Lord, we are praying for our leaders, and we're asking you, Lord, to give them wisdom. Lord, we pray too that this season would pass quickly. Father, we ask you, by your Holy Spirit, will you intervene on behalf of the world? Lord, not let this season go on too much longer. Father, we pray for those who are researching vaccinations and treatments. Lord, give them blessing, I pray, to understand and to move these things forward quickly. Lord, we pray that this season would pass. Lord, lift this curse that is upon the world, we pray. And Father, we pray for the future. Lord, we ask that your gospel will be spread, that laws that have been made at this time, Father, the ones that are good, Lord, will continue, that, Father, we would look to the future, Lord, and reward those who have sacrificially given during this season. Father, give us grace, I pray, in this season. But, Lord, help us to break through, Father, into what is to come. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen your people, grow your church, and that, Lord, we will not be fearful or frightened. We ask our prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and verses 18 to 20. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men. But the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been resurrected, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. In fact, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, good morning. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The account we've just read is the first Easter morning, where the two Marys are on their way to the tomb. They're probably not walking very fast. They've probably got their heads down and are quite solemn. They didn't have a lot of faith at that point, and they were just taking the spices they'd been preparing to anoint Jesus' body for his final, I guess, time in the tomb. But they had a big surprise awaiting them. They didn't know it, but they did. They had no idea that the tomb had been watched. They had no idea that someone had been and asked for the Roman authorities to watch over it, because they'd been at home preparing spices. They probably saw him taken down off the cross and put into the tomb, but at that point they'd probably departed to go and prepare these spices. You see, man's laws were preventing the opening of that tomb. They didn't know it, because they hadn't got there at that point, but the law of man said that the tomb could not be opened anymore. But God is bigger than any of man's plans. He always has been, and he always will be. He's bigger than any earthly authority. You see, in an instant, everything changed. In an instant. The psalm says, one word from you, O Lord, is all it brings. And there was this earthquake, and this one had been sent by God. Now, earthquakes happen quite a lot, and there are websites you can go to that show all around the world there are earthquakes happening on a reasonably regular basis. Not big ones, not big enough to make the news, but big enough if you live there. I remember when I was on Guam a couple of years back, and we were just lying in bed, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I suddenly felt that the building move, and the sound as if a truck had been driven into the side of it. It was an amazing sound. And it was only later on that they started to report there'd been an earthquake. In this country, it would have been an earthquake, but over there it was a reasonably large tremor. It didn't last very long. But this earthquake was sent by God. And the Greek says that it was a large earthquake. Now, the Greek word there is mega. That's what it means. It means it was a massive earthquake, an enormous earthquake. And the word for earthquake is seismos, where we get seismology from. And seismos means a little earthquake. But put it together with mega seismos, it means it was this massive earthquake. And creation had shaken as Jesus had risen from the tomb. And an angel had descended from heaven, and he had rolled the stone away. Either he'd rolled it away or the earthquake had done something like that. And again, it was a large stone. It wasn't an ordinary stone. It was a very mega stone. That's what the Greek implies there. And not only that, the angel took care of the armed guard. As he appeared, the armed guard just couldn't do anything. With the spot with their weapons and their training, they were no match from what God sent from heaven. See, everything changes in an instant when God sends his answer. Victory over death at that point was confirmed. You see, God can move stones that challenge us. We may have little faith like the Marys. We may be a little bit downcast, but we trust him for the results, because he can make a way where there is no way. In an instant, he can change everything. In an instant, not over a period of time, in an instant. and he overcame their conquest of fear. See, that these hardened soldiers, they were fearful because they had been commanded to guard this tomb. But they also were probably fearful because they weren't on the Lord's side. Do you know, in these tough and difficult days, there are people around us who are fearful. Why? Because they don't have the hope of heaven in their hearts. But everything can change in an instant. The women were really afraid. I mean, I would be afraid. A large angel had appeared. There'd been an earthquake. I mean, fear is a natural response when we feel threatened. But the faith that the angel gave them would expel their fears. Again, everything changed in an instant. We need God to give us faith in this hour, at this time. The time, the season that not just this nation, but the world is walking through. We need faith to change our fear into faith. See, fear was replaced with action. Once they got this faith, the angel said, go quickly and tell the disciples. You see, Jesus knew the disciples were probably in unbelief. You know, he knew that their hopes had been dashed. He knew that everything that they dreamt of was over, or they thought it was over, because everything changes in an instant. But the message from the angel was, go and tell the others. And Jesus also says to them, you know, go and tell the others. Go quickly and tell. Death is defeated. Jesus is alive. And so as the angels told them to go and tell the others, these ladies, they rush off. And it's interesting to note there, these ladies were the first two evangelists. Evangelists are people who spread the good news. The good news is that Jesus is alive. That Jesus is alive and has defeated death. And that we can come to him and trust in him. And he will give us faith. And he will answer our prayers. In an instant, everything can change when we're on the Lord's side. And so these women were the first evangelists. They were the first people to take the good news. The first people, the angel said to them, go and give the good news to the disciples that he is risen from the dead. You see, obedience to God and doing what God says, in this case, the ladies through an angel, is what God had asked them to do. But obedience to God brings faith. They probably arrived, as I say, walking up there, heads down, disappointed. But an encounter with God, everything changing in an instant, they suddenly had this rush of faith and belief. And so they rushed off. You know, we need to tell the good news today. Jesus Christ is risen and he is coming again. Maybe what we're experiencing is the beginning of the end. Who knows? God knows. But in an instant he can change the whole situation. This hasn't surprised him. This hasn't crept up out of the blue. God is still in charge and he knows what is going on. We need to put our trust in him because everything can change in an instant. Everything. And as they went to tell the disciples about Jesus being raised from the dead, they suddenly meet Jesus. They suddenly meet him. You see, when you're full of the good news, you can't help but going to tell others. And as they rushed off to tell the others, they encounter Jesus. But we also see that when you encounter the risen Lord, our response has to be worship. At his voice, they fell at his feet. When Jesus encounters us, our response has to be worship. That's our natural response. Just as the natural response perhaps to the angel was fear, because it's something that the ladies were unaware of, so the natural response to their encounter with Jesus is worship. And again, Jesus says to them, don't be afraid. Go and share. Go and be part of this story. See, Jesus could have turned up at the disciples and told them, but he chose two ladies who were struggling in their faith, two ladies who were struggling and not understanding what was going on. And he said, come and be part of the story. And that's God's message to us today. Come and be part of the story. Yes, worship him. And it's from that place of worship, it's from that place where we've encountered Jesus, that we are energized with his faith, with his ability to then go and tell others, to then go and be part of the story. And part of that story is that whole idea at the end that I read, those three verses at the end, the Great Commission. You know, those words have lasted for 2,000 years. That's what the church has been doing. Going and making disciples. That is our remit. That is our vision statement, if you like. That is our modus operandi. We are to go and to make disciples. Go and be part of the story, Jesus tells us. Worship me, says Jesus. Fall at my feet, says Jesus. Worship me, and I will send you and say, go and be part of my story. In an instant, everything changed. See, the message the world needs right now is that Jesus Christ is alive. He's in control, and he can change our fear into faith in an instant. Jesus said, go to all nations. That Greek word there is ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnic from. You know, he said, go to all the different customs, the cultures, the different civilizations. Take this everywhere you go. You see, when we've encountered Jesus in worship, and when he's commissioned us to go and to tell his good news and to be part of that great commission, we take him everywhere we go. And in an instant, everything can change. The word there, go, is written in the tense that in the Greek that says, be constantly on the move. Be constantly going, be constantly telling. There's not a sense of not telling. It's constant. You know, everywhere you go, everybody you meet, everybody you see, tell them about Jesus. Tell them what is going on. You see, what is our mission field? The mission field is our town, Colchester, our friends. There are a lot of people out there that are currently fearful and panicked. But as Christians, we need not fear. Because we are covered with the Lamb of the blood, and we know that our destinies are secure in heaven. And even if we succumb to death here on this earth, death is not the final answer. We will be with him in heaven. Jesus said to the two thieves on the cross, or he said to one of the thieves on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's an instant thing. When we die from here, we go to be with heaven, and all of this is forgotten about. So today, I encourage you, lift up your heads, as I was encouraging you last week. You know, these two Marys on their way to the tomb, in an instant, everything changed because they encountered the living God. I encourage you in your quiet times this week to seek God and encounter him, worship him, because it's from that place of worship that he commissions us to go. It's from that place of worship that he empowers us. It's from that place of worship that we're able to continually go and to spread the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems, and he is coming again. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we come to you knowing that in an instant, Lord, everything can change. Father, we come knowing that one word from you brings power to change things. Lord, we are asking you in this hour, Father, to change things in an instant. Lord, I pray that you would, Father, remove fear from our lives. And Lord, give us faith. Lord, help us to take this message of Easter Sunday, that you're alive, that you are risen, and to go and tell others. Lord, we pray that as we do that, Father, we will continually encounter you along the way. And that, Father, those moments of worship will be, Lord, full of, Lord, faith-filled inspiration in us. That, Lord, they will spur us on to speak to our families and our friends. Father, we pray at this time, strengthen us, Lord, and make, Lord, our hearts new. And, Lord, let us see your kingdom come. Your will being done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brian, for those words. And the final song that I've chosen, All Things New, just give us an opportunity to reflect on the fact that Jesus came to this earth as a baby. He died and rose again. He ascended into heaven. But he's coming back, and he will make all things new. When he comes back, he will make all things new. And that is our hope, particularly as we see what we see around us. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in him alone.
Jesus, you.
Thank you for joining us today. Just a reminder that every evening at 8 o'clock we have a prayer meeting on the Zoom platform. You'd be more than welcome to join us if you haven't joined us yet. If you'd like to know how to join us, you can either contact me or you can get our contact details through the website below here. Contact us through that and I'll get back to you so that you're able to join it. It's very easy to set up, very easy to be part of it. You'd be very welcome to join us. Be blessed, have a good rest of the day, and I'll see you at 8 o'clock tonight.